Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com. Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santikos studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. When you have a drink, how aware of you are of the trade-offs that are happening right there? Alcohol consumption is such an ingrained part of our life and the way society works that most of us don't really think about the consequences of drinking and how life might be different, might be better if you cut back or gave it up. There is this thing called Dry January. Some folks have decided to skip the booze for a month and see what happens. Did you try Dry January? What was it like? What is your relationship like with alcohol? Is it a love-hate relationship? Do you want to talk about it? Well, give me a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And you can tweet at us at TPRSource, send an email to thesource@tpr.org, and you can text us at that call-in number, 833-877-8255. We're joined this hour by Hilary Scheinbaum, a journalist, speaker, and author of the book, The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for a Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month. And Hilary Scheinbaum, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you. Also with us is Dr. Janini Rashish. Am I saying that right? I think I missed a mess. Ramesh. Assistant professor, say it for me, Doctor.
Dr. Janini Ramesh.
Ramesh, thank you so much. Assistant professor in the Department of Internal Medicine at UT Austin's Dell Medical School and hospitalist at Dell Seton Medical Center. And Dr. Ramesh, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me as well.
So, Hilary, tell me about your book. When you told folks, hey, I'm writing a book about dry challenge, about a dry January, I mean, I'm sure people were like interested and they had things to tell you. What did they say?
It's interesting. At first, when I first started doing Dry Januaries 7 years ago, people actually rolled their eyes. They thought it was kind of ridiculous. But, you know, I had been doing them for a bit before I wrote my book. And so finally, when I did decide to write a book about it, I think people were a lot more supportive because they understood that I had experienced so many benefits and that I was really passionate about it. But yeah, in the beginning, it certainly didn't go without some eye rolls and definitely some aggressive questions.
Like what? What would they ask you? Like, how dare you?
Yeah, for one, I think that, you know, people often question, you know, others' decisions not to drink. And for me, a lot of the questions that were, you know, coming in were, do you have a drinking problem or are you pregnant or are you sick? I think that people often, you know, equate not drinking with some deeper issues, but at, you know, and whatever the case may be, whether you just don't like alcohol or, you know, if there is something else going on, I personally feel that it's nobody's business. And in this case, I was just giving up alcohol as part of a bet, but really to see how it would affect my day-to-day life. So, yeah, there were a lot of questions and a lot of comments. Like, if you are going to drink again on February 1st or any time after, then why does it matter if you're, you know, giving it up for 31 days? So, yeah, I did deal with a little bit of pushback in the beginning.
Dr. Ramesh, do you think there is a benefit to folks to go through a dry month?
I definitely think there is. There is recently some new studies out that say that even a little bit of alcohol can harm your health. I know we used to live in a time when we would say, oh, one glass of red wine with dinner is good for you. And we're kind of past those times now. So even if you did go just a full month without drinking and you were to resume your normal drinking habits on February, that's 1 month where you're actually giving your body a break from the toxic effects of alcohol. So I'm very supportive of people who try to do that just for their health. but also, you know, as you said earlier, to look at what your life can look like without alcohol in it. And what role is alcohol playing in your life that could be, you know, maladaptive to your personal growth? And I think a dry January really helps people kind of examine that.
So it gives them an opportunity to establish a baseline, what I would feel like if I went just for a month without drinking. And then also they might, you know, think of themselves as, you know, I don't have a drinking problem. I just drink every day and that's no big deal. And then suddenly they may realize, actually, this is harder than I thought.
Yeah, exactly. For people who do, you know, drink every day or really do have a problem, you can start to experience withdrawal symptoms pretty quickly. And it becomes pretty clear how dependent your body has become on alcohol. And then outside of the, you know, physicality of it, it's, you know, what situations are you actually drinking in? Is it, are you going out with your friends and having a couple of drinks on Fridays and Saturdays? Or are you drinking to cope with some stress or some loss or something like that in your life? And now suddenly when you don't have that crutch of alcohol, how are you able to deal with your emotions? So, you know, having a dry month like that really helps you reckon with, you know, what role alcohol is playing to, you know, put a Band-Aid on some aspects of your life that you don't want to look at.
So we're talking about having a dry month, playing around with not drinking for a while. What would that look like? What's your relationship with alcohol? What's that like? Give us a call, 833-877-8255. We have Joe on the line. And Joe, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I wake up and I feel like I need to have a jump start shot, one or two units. I try to stay about 2 units a day. That's whichever unit, but in the morning is usually a hard liquor. And just to feel kind of like good, relax, a little more loose. And then I go around my daily life, and sometimes I feel guilty. But I think that I'm still within the range of 14 units a week for a male.
All right, Joe, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate that. And we do want to hear from folks and call us, tell us how you have, how alcohol is part of your life. And we do want, and people, you know, that's about normal, according to the studies, that about people drink about 14 drinks a week, Dr. Ramesh.
Yes, for men, it's recommended no more than 14 drinks a week or 2 drinks a day. And for women, it's not more than 1 drink a day or 7 total drinks a week. But when we see people with alcohol problems, it's not just about the number of drinks they consume. It's about the behavior around the alcohol. So even if you're drinking less than 7 or 14 drinks a week, whether you're a female or a male, is the drinking associated with certain problematic behaviors, such as not fulfilling your duties at work or getting into social situations or fights with people in your life or getting into legal troubles? So if any of those are present, even if you are drinking less than that recommended amount, you could still be considered to have an alcohol problem.
And if you are drinking 14 drinks a week, studies have shown that you're still going to have issues like fatty liver, micro lesions on the brain, elevated high blood pressure, a stress on your kidneys, on your liver. There's still a health consequence, and we're going to talk about that. But we wanted to say, how do people, what do they think about their relationship with alcohol, and how do they want to move forward with that? And just to think about it. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about trying a dry month, like dry January. We're talking about, you know, not drinking and what is that like. We're not telling anyone what to do. If you, what we want to do is just kind of help people understand what happens when you drink, when you don't drink. Informed decision making is what we're all about. And if you got a question or a comment, you want to talk about your love-hate relationship with alcohol, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So Hilary Scheinbaum, when you wrote your book, The Dry Challenge, were people thinking that you were trying to evangelize not drinking?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I was basically trying to explain, you know, and I do in my book, that any, you know, lessening of alcohol is a good thing, whether it is a 100% dry January or a damp January or a one drink January. But, you know, people have very personal relationships with alcohol and what it means to them. And so I think that people can, you know, get very defensive if you suggest that cutting out alcohol, you know, could be a bigger part of their life.
Dr. Ramesh, do you think people are making informed decisions when it comes to drinking? Because they're talking about maybe putting warning labels on bottles of alcohol now. Do we need that?
I definitely think we do. There's not a single organ in our body that alcohol doesn't touch and is not, you know, at least somewhat toxic to. And I think most people are aware of the effects that it can have on your liver and things like that. But some of the effects on the heart and cardiovascular health, brain health, lungs and everything are not always super well understood by the population, because it is a socially sanctioned activity that has not received the same amount of scrutiny, you know, public health wise, that tobacco has, where I think that it should. So definitely, I think a warning label, the way that we do with cigarettes, would be great.
And so just go to Jody on the phones. And Jody, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, my mom passed away from COVID in 2021, and I started drinking every day to kind of cope with that grief. And it culminated in this last November, me having a severe anxiety attack. And I went to the doctor, and he told me I needed to make some lifestyle changes. And, you know, I was literally drinking every day. And just in the first 2 weeks that I stopped drinking, I really noticed a significant change in the quality of sleep that I was getting and inflammation. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest surprises, it's kind of funny, is that my hemorrhoids cleared up. You know, like, it's just the inflammation in your whole body. It was just a really surprise benefit of it. And I think, you know, just doing even if you just did a month off, just recognizing checking out how it's going to benefit you physically, emotionally, mentally, is worth it. And then maybe from further on down the line, you can make that decision to quit permanently.
Jody, thank you for that call. We appreciate that. Hilary Scheinbaum, what do you write about in your book, The Dry Challenge, about the benefits of going without for a while?
Yeah. So as he said, certainly, you know, sleep is a big part of it. When you drink alcohol, it can initially sedate you, but then it's going to cause awakenings. And whether that actually fully wakes you up out of your sleep, and sometimes that is to, you know, use the restroom or otherwise, you're not getting the quality sleep that you would otherwise without alcohol. And on a personal level, you know, if I have a glass of wine or two, I might be sleeping 5 hours and it's terrible sleep. Whereas if I'm not drinking for a month, you know, my sleep is 7 to 8 hours. So that's definitely a big benefit. And to the point of anxiety, I mean, alcohol is definitely a depressant, so it is going to lower your mood, but people do experience, you know, what they call quote unquote hangover anxiety the next day. And so, you know, there are definitely other benefits too, like clearer skin, better digestion, reduced inflammation. It's really 360. Alcohol affects every part of us.
Dr. Ramesh, what about the self-medicating part of alcohol? People don't want to, it helps them deal with anxiety in a way. It helps them avoid dealing with anxiety. It might be a way of looking at it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. As was said before, alcohol is a depressant and it can kind of calm down anxious thoughts that are happening in your brain. But over time, your brain becomes sort of dependent on that alcohol to do that tamping down of your emotions for you. And it almost sometimes forgets how to create, you know, the chemicals and the connections that are needed to temper your own emotions without it. And that's where some of that anxiety comes from, because without alcohol in your system, your brain has, you know, somewhat forgotten how to calm yourself down.
But if you feel like suddenly you're drinking a lot more, then maybe you should recognize that you need to reach out.
Yes, definitely. Especially if there's a clear trigger point or a reason that you suddenly started changing your drinking behaviors.
Let's go to a caller, Beverly. Beverly's on the line, and let's get Beverly lit up. And Beverly, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm a clinical nutritionist here in town, and I've always advised my clients two things. One, they will sleep better without alcohol. Just that even that one or two glasses of wine or alcohol will tend to wake us up around 3 a.m. And my clients are always amazed, like, my goodness, I did sleep better after that. I didn't wake up. The other thing is that we need to offer alternatives for the kind of stress relief. Ooh, I'm off of work. How do I just gently let go of some of this stress? Yes, we know meditation, exercise, and so on, but I find there's simple, safe, easy, affordable herbs that are extremely widely available and very useful. We use a lot of passion flower in my practice, for example. It's very safe, very effective. Anybody, almost any age, can use it. And there are other herbs that are calming, simple, affordable, safe herbs. Just take some of that stress off instead of reaching for a glass of beer or wine.
So what do I do with the passion flower? Do I wear it? How does that take stress off?
It's you can an easy way is you buy it in a tincture. It's a simple herbal tincture. Then you just take the appropriate number of drops, depending on if you're super stressed, you take more. If you're moderately stressed, you take a lower dose. And they'll say on the label, you know, 10 to 40 drops or something of that nature.
What about CBD oil? Is that an alternative too?
A lot of people do CBD oil. I don't recommend it in my practice because I find it's just a wide open field, a lot of mavericks out there, and it's just a whole other thing.
That's a whole different show. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Beverly, thank you for the call. Hillary Scheinbaum, what do you recommend that people do? First of all, in social environments, if you say you're not drinking, suddenly, you know, what are you going to have in your hand and other alternatives?
Yeah, so I think it really depends on the social situation. In instances where personally I am going to attend a dinner or party at somebody's home, I like to bring non-alcoholic varietals like non-alcoholic wines. Actually, there's a brand called Starlo Wines, which is alcohol removed, and they are out of Dallas, Texas.
How's that taste? Does it taste like real wine?
It does have the taste of real wine. It's a little bit different, but It certainly has that flavor and that feeling, and you feel like you are sipping something that is elevated rather than, you know, opting for, say, a Diet Coke or, you know, something else at the bar, like a sparkling water. But really there are, you know, non-alcoholic varieties for different occasions, like beers by a brand called Groovy, and Freshenet makes alcohol removed sparkling wines if you're celebrating something big. And then furthermore, you know, if you are going out to eat or you're, you know, going to a bar, there's an app called Better Without where you can log on and you can actually look up venues in your area that offer non-alcoholic beverages in traditional bars and restaurants. So I do think that, you know, replacing your maybe nightly beverage, whether that's wine or beer or a cocktail, in the evening or whenever it is that you drink, can certainly help you, you know, kind of go through that ritual, but without a buzz. And so I think that's very helpful. I also think it's super helpful to plan activities with your friends and family that don't revolve around alcohol. So maybe that is, you know, taking a hike or going for a walk if that's available to you, or, you know, going to a yoga class or picking up an old hobby like an instrument or, you know, going to the movies. There are tons of options there that can keep you occupied without imbibing.
So, Dr. Ramesh, we're hearing instead of drinking, maybe meditate, maybe exercise, pick up a hobby like playing music, learning a new language. All these substitutes for alcohol sound very positive and productive.
Yes, definitely. I know it's kind of easier said than done when we have so many socially sanctioned activities that revolve around drinking. But I think all of those are really, really great ideas and much more positive things for your body. Exercise, as we all know, but just, you know, trying to figure out activities that don't revolve around drinking is something I like to recommend.
But people might be thinking, hey, you know, I want to turn off. I don't want to, like, take it to the next level at the end of the day. I want to relax. You know, that's why they reach for their favorite potable. You know, that's why they're doing that. I mean, how do we balance that out, Dr. Ramesh?
I think it's important to meet people where they're at. Ideally, you know, abstinence would be the absolute best thing for your health, but abstinence is not realistic for most people, and that's okay. And just understanding that some people have different needs and knowing that one glass of wine every once in a while is not going to kill you, just has you look at it in a kind of a different way, because it just changing your behavior around alcohol, not necessarily swearing off of it entirely, is also just a positive change you can make in your life.
Hillary Scheinbaum, what about romance? You know, alcohol is a social lubricant. It helps ease people, and it's very useful when you go out on a date. So what do you do there?
Absolutely. And it's funny because when you think about it, often if you're meeting somebody on an app or even in real life, there are times that you're going to know what their drink order is before you might even know their last name or anything about them, right? But in these instances, I think, again, it's definitely helpful to suggest activities that are not, you know, the stereotypical going to a bar and, you know, getting to know each other over a drink. Instead, maybe you want to do something more playful like ice skating or bowling, where you can have an activity and you can also chat. But I do think that, you know, if you are going on dates and your goal is to lessen your alcohol intake or, you know, just not drink at all, it's important to be confident about your decision. And you can explain as much as you want or as little as you want. But if you say I'm not drinking and the other person is not respecting your decision, I think
that's a red flag.
Yeah, it might indicate that person is not for you. You obviously, you know, want to be with somebody who respects your healthy decision making. And I think, you know, that can be great for really weeding people out.
And when we talk about the negative impacts of drinking, I guess we have to mention loss of impulse control. I think those programs, those housewife shows, they're like big commercials. So this is what you don't want to do. Don't drink too much and don't act like this, Hillary.
Yeah, that is very true. We've seen a number of examples, you know, of incidents of arguments and overblown drama due to drinking.
Right. And Dr. Ramesh, we see a lot of like intimate partner violence that begins with drinking.
Absolutely. Intimate partner violence affects lots of couples. And in fact, it doesn't even affect couples equitably, those who drink as well. You see the health effects of alcohol. When I see patients in the hospital, you see people with liver disease and heart disease and this and that. But you also see a lot of trauma from fights and injuries sustained in motor vehicle collisions and fights just from alcohol as well, which is very sad.
So we're talking about taking inventory, thinking about your own alcohol use. It's not that easy for some people to suddenly decide, I'm not going to drink anymore. And you might need some extra help. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. And we do want to hear from you about your relationship with drinking. 833-877-8255. 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about the dry challenge. Have you tried dry January? How about dry February? Any month is good. It doesn't matter which month you want to choose. What's it like? What impacts positive on your health? What's your relationship with alcohol like? And we're going to bring into the conversation now Kevin Lars Phillips. He's a certified peer specialist at Bexar County Center for Healthcare Services. And Kevin, it's not always that easy for folks to suddenly say, I'm not going to drink anymore. Or when they think they're going to say, I'm going to have a dry month, and suddenly they're white knuckling through the month. I mean, that's not good. What do you want them to know?
That first of all, they're not alone. They don't have to be alone in this. That it is great that they're taking that step to get help, and know that there is always more help out there if you cannot do it on your own. For example, here with the Bexar County Local Mental Health Authority, the Center for Healthcare Services, we have outpatient mental health services. We have a substance use sobriety unit. We have the Restoration Center, which is for people that are detoxing. There's a lot of help out there, and sometimes it's just taking that step to reach out and get it.
So when does a person, realize that they need help? Unfortunately, sometimes it's not until they've had a run-in with police, a DWI, or maybe a health issue, or maybe something at work. Are those typically, or can we intervene before then, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes you can have the help from a friend or family member that is seeing signs of this issue becoming more than just casual drinking. Some signs that can be seen are you are running errands that you don't need to run just to go drink, and you are hiding this from your loved one. You are getting caught with the smell of alcohol in your breath and explaining it away as something else. So having that support of someone that can be an outside source of observation is sometimes the easiest way to intervene.
Let's go to a caller. We have Raphael on the line, and Raphael, you're on the air.
Yeah. So I've probably been drinking for like the past 10 years, not really caring at first, worrying about it. But now I am kind of worried. So, basically what I'm wondering is, as somebody who can't really afford to miss work to go to a detox or something like that, or can't even really afford to go to a doctor to get checked out, if you're worried about it, what would probably be your first steps that you would want to get looked at to just to see how far along health-wise you are, is what I'm wondering.
All right. Thank you for the call, Raphael, and good luck to you. Let's go to Kevin Lars Phillips first.
Sure thing, yes. Raphael, good for you for recognizing that. And it is hard to, some people at times in their lives have to put everything on hold and go into treatment for a week, but with having to maintain a job and pay bills, that's not always an option for people. So being able to just take the time, maybe take one day off, go in and go through our intake process and let them know what your concerns are. When it comes to affordability, it is variant upon your income and what insurance you may have. We will work with you. We are here to get you the help that you need.
So this is the Bexar County Center for Healthcare Services. Is that where that person would go?
Yes, we have a number of clinics around town. I am specifically stationed at the Paul Elizondo Clinic. It's right downtown, right across the street from the UTSA downtown campus. And any clinic you find, you can have the process of intake start and start your road towards recovery.
So it's right there on Florida Street, I think. But let's go to Dr. Ramesh. So if someone is drinking a lot and suddenly they say, I want to stop, a cold turkey approach may not be the best approach. What do you recommend?
That is correct. And again, thank you, Raphael, for calling in and expressing what you expressed. For those who are dependent on alcohol, quitting cold turkey can be dangerous to your health, dangerous to your life, and because alcohol withdrawal, when severe, can be deadly. So if you're the kind of person who's drinking, 10 to 20 drinks a day and get withdrawal symptoms in the morning after you've slept and haven't had drinks all night, that's something you need to get help for in the hospital or a detox center to detox from the alcohol first. And for those who are drinking a little bit less, then cold turkey is not as dangerous of a thing to do. And there are medications actually that are FDA approved for treating alcohol cravings, which are generally inexpensive. And any primary care doctor can prescribe them if that's something that is interesting to you.
So Hillary Scheinbaum, your book, The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month. I mean, you typically are writing for an audience of people who are social drinkers, or they feel like alcohol is part of their life but doesn't control their life. Is that it?
Yes, absolutely. So the Dry Challenge and Dry Januaries are really for people who are social drinkers and they are not feeling dependency issues. Certainly, you know, these dry challenges are not a replacement for recovery programs. And, you know, I definitely think that people should seek help if they are concerned. And, you know, I do think that, and it has been proven that dry challenges can reduce alcohol intake in the months that follow. However, for anybody who is really struggling to complete a dry January, they should absolutely speak to a doctor and seek further help.
Dr. Ramesh, we know people have different types of relationships with alcohol, and sometimes there are people who don't drink that much, but then they binge. And then we have people who are maintenance drinkers. They needed one or two drinks a day. If they don't have that, then they feel really out of sorts. And then we have people who are acute, dependent on alcohol. And that's a problem. When we say the word alcoholic, that's a big word that covers a lot of stuff. And and sometimes it's not that helpful.
It is definitely not. I really don't like to use the word alcoholic in my practice. It's a very punitive word, and it puts a lot of shame and pressure on the person suffering from the issue. So we use, you know, alcohol use disorder or risky alcohol use. And alcohol use disorder is kind of the severe end of the spectrum where you have a lot of hazardous behaviors around your alcohol use. You may be dependent. You may be suffering withdrawal when you don't have it. And then risky alcohol use is kind of on the other end of the spectrum where you're not as severe as to be considered having a medical condition or a medical issue, but there are certain behaviors that you may need to examine in yourself and see if you can curb down.
The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and we have Lorenzo on the line. Lorenzo, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for having me on the air. I stopped drinking pretty close to 3 months now. It all started with my wife having some health issues, and we both decided just to stop drinking. It was very hard at first. I was drinking every day, especially on the weekend. But now, since I stopped, I feel amazing. I've lost weight. My blood pressure's down. I'm able to sleep at night, and it's amazing. It's like a new me. But every now and then, I don't know if there's an answer to this. I miss having that buzz once in a while. You know, I see my friends drinking, and you know, I want to be with them, but I just don't want to do it anymore. What do you recommend? Is there anything I can do? I have a friend that takes edibles every now and then, but I don't know about that. What do you recommend?
Well, Lorenzo, thank you for the call. That's a great question. I don't know who to ask first. Let's go to Dr. Ramesh.
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. And congratulations, Lorenzo, for making this change in your life. One of the medications that I really, really like is called naltrexone. And it's an anti-craving medication. It's just a pill that's taken once a day, or maybe it might be helpful in your case to take it maybe about an hour before you go out with friends. And what it does is it prevents you from kind of desiring and craving that feeling of the alcohol. You'll find that, you know, even if you do get a beer, you'll probably won't even want to finish it. It just takes that joy, that buzz away from having that alcoholic drink, and it can really reduce your alcohol use. And I do recommend it and prescribe it to many, many patients every week.
And Hilary Scheinbaum, when, you know, to the same question, but, you know, the triggering that people have, like, oh, you know, but then I have this long list of all the good things that are happening to me because I'm not drinking. Is there a way that maybe you could pull that list out of your pocket and look at that and say, okay, I'm losing weight, my skin looks good, I'm losing, you know, all these health benefits? Would that help a person from you know, ruining their dry month?
Yeah, it could. Absolutely. I think part of, you know, being social and being in a drinking environment is also, you know, having the opportunity to have a beverage in your hand. And so I think also that's where a lot of these non-alcoholic alternatives come in. And, you know, there are other products, too, that are on the market that might inspire, you know, some I wouldn't say like a buzz, but definitely some other feelings. They have adaptogens, they have nootropics. These are brands that, you know, similar to other supplements, are not necessarily FDA approved. So obviously speak to your doctor before consuming them, but they don't have alcohol. So there definitely are some benefits, and those are potentially worth looking into. But yeah, to your point, I think that if you can remind yourself of the hangover that is not going to come the next morning, I think that's always a win, at least in my book.
Let's take a break, and we're going to continue the conversation about evaluating your relationship with alcohol. Where are you going to go with that when we come back? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. It's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. Alcohol is a toxic, it is a dependence-producing substance. It has been classified as a Group 1 carcinogen. That's the highest risk group, which also includes asbestos, radiation, and tobacco. We really haven't talked a lot about how harmful alcohol is to our health, even the tiniest amount that comes into our, you know, our life has its consequences. Instead, you know, our society embraces alcohol. It celebrates alcohol. But maybe you reach a point in your life where you decide, maybe it's not for me. Maybe I can live without this. Maybe I would be so much better. My family would be so much better if I decided to stop drinking. I'm not, you know, out of control alcoholic, but still, you know, drinking, not drinking. That's a question we all probably should ask ourselves at one point. And you can call in. What is your relationship with alcohol like? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can tweet at us at TPRSource. Send us an email to thesource@tpr.org. Kevin Lars Phillips, he's a certified peer specialist at Bexar County's Center for Healthcare Services. When people say, you know, I've got to give up drinking, I'm no longer going to drink. Sometimes people think that that's like a death sentence, that they can't live without alcohol. But there is life past alcohol, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. And if you decide to take this change in your life, sometimes a lot of that draw back to it is the social aspect of it, and being able to find something to replace that, where you can have a social activity that doesn't that has alcohol not part of the equation, might be a good way to balance that, to keep your life balanced in that way that you so desire.
So, Hilary Scheinbaum, in your book, The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Alcohol-Free Month, do people, you know, they come to you, have they told you, I tried it, I picked up your book, I read it, and it really spoke to me, and I've discovered a new me?
Yes, absolutely. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback where people have experienced, you know, all of those perks that I mentioned, like better sleep, an elevated mood, better skin, weight loss, financial savings. The list goes on. And it is very heartwarming to hear. But I think, you know, the bigger picture is that these individuals aren't just, you know, changing their lifestyles for January. They're doing it in the months that follow and the years that follow. And it's influencing, you know, the social circles around them, too. And I think that's the more the better, strength in numbers, a happier and healthier social circle is always great.
Dr. Janini Ramesh, assistant professor in the Department of Internal Medicine at UT Austin's Dell Medical School and hospitalist at Dell Seton Medical Center, telling someone, I don't want to tell anyone to stop drinking. What I want them to do is to make informed decisions, and they can decide what's best for them and their family. Do you think most people have the right information when it comes to deciding what their relationship with alcohol is going to be?
I think that most people are aware of the effects of alcohol on the body and what effects it can have on things like the liver and the heart. A lot of people don't necessarily know that alcohol causes almost 6% of all cancer deaths nationwide, and it can cause heart problems like heart arrhythmias or abnormal heart rhythms. It can cause nerve and brain problems as well that can be permanent. So these are some of the things that I know that not all patients know when it comes to the damage that alcohol has on the body. And the other thing I do want to point out is, you know, I don't want to sound all doom and gloom. Alcohol is a direct toxin to almost every organ in the body, but stopping drinking can reverse a lot of that damage even within the first few weeks itself. And it's just incredible.
Yeah. So Hilary Scheinbaum, you know, when people stop drinking for a month, it has been shown that they have a lot of recovery. The liver even starts to heal up. And that's why, and when the liver is occupied with trying to process all that alcohol toxin that you put in yourself, it doesn't always get around to all the other toxins that you have in your system. Giving it a break and allowing it to heal up and do everything else it's supposed to do, suddenly you get a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just taking such a short time away from alcohol is just wonderful for your system, for your immune system as well. And, you know, when you start to, even if you start to drink again on February 1st or whenever your month or your week is over, I think that it has, you know, then become almost habitual to drink less, or at least be mindful of when you are ordering, you know, a beverage or pouring yourself a beverage to drink less. And certainly your tolerance will be lessened as well. So that's also, you know, a tip that I give in my book is to just be aware of what your intake is, especially the first day or night after you have, you know, eliminated alcohol. When you are going back to drinking it, you do want to drink slowly, you know, hydrate before and after, and eat a meal before you start imbibing so that it doesn't, you know, hit you as fast and as hard.
Kevin Lars Phillips, certified peer specialist at Bexar County's Center for Healthcare Services. We have a lot of opportunities for people to go to AA, Alcohol Anonymous, here in anywhere in the world, really. Is that something that people should explore?
For some people, that is an option, and it works for them. For some people, it isn't quite the right fit. And being able to know what other resources are out there and being able to utilize them, if that doesn't work for you, is the right path to take.
So how should people, try it? If it doesn't work, you don't feel comfortable, it's too stressful for you, try something else. Like, what are some other options?
Well, with the services we have here with the center, you can actually, if you've never been, you can start the intake process first by calling in. The number is 210-261-1250. And if you are truly in crisis, there's a crisis line at 210-223-SAFE-7233. And making sure that you communicate your needs with your primary care physician that you're assigned to, and starting that process for them.
Dr. Janini Ramesh, is our body, the human body, in alcohol, or it seems like they go way back, that, you know, this is one of the first substances that humanity figured out how to create. And is it uniquely suited towards messing with our brain?
Yeah, it definitely can mess with your brain. Not just when you're under the influence, as we all know, but it can cause permanent brain damage to certain sections of your brain that are pretty vulnerable to the toxic effects of alcohol, as well as just the nerves in your body. You can get neuropathy and that kind of thing as well. Some of these effects can be, unfortunately, permanent if you do drink enough. It is a direct toxin to your brain.
So, Dr. Ramesh, how about when in life, you know, as we get older, you know, no longer in those rambunctious 20s where we're capable of superhuman activities, you know, should we continue to think about this as we get older? You know, I'm getting to a point where those hangovers are a lot more harder to deal with than they were in the past. And now I'm worried about my brain health. You know, dementia, Alzheimer's, these types of things, you know, sleep apnea, all that is connected to, you know, could be connected to alcohol consumption. If I decide to dial back or eliminate alcohol as I get older, should that something we should be thinking about?
Absolutely. We definitely do not have robust bodies as we age. Most of the people that I see with end-stage disease from alcohol use are, you know, middle-aged folks in their 50s and 60s. So it's really when our bodies are bearing the brunt of everything that has happened over the course of our lives. And we definitely should cherish our bodies a little bit more at that time and think about what we're putting into it, because we are a lot more fragile as we grow older.
Hilary Scheinbaum, who are the people that are most taken with your book? Are you surprised by who they are? Do they come from a certain demographic?
I think, you know, it's a lot of women, specifically millennial women and older Gen Z women, although there are a ton of men who have participated. I really do think that a lot of females are, you know, embarking on this journey, first and foremost, I mean, for many reasons, but one of the reasons being, you know, personal wellness and health. And also, you know, just having a greater appreciation for the things that they are ingesting and putting in their bodies and, you know, taking a closer look at what their diets consist of. And, you know, there are other reasons as well. But I do find that it is a lot of women in the Gen Y and Gen Z demographic.
Are you heart to, you know, take to heart, like, this is encouraging to see that people are taking charge of their sobriety, of their mind, of their future, their health. They're rejecting, I mean, kind of like a programming that we've received that we all should be drinking to, you know, excess.
Yeah, you know, I think that drinking has been such an automatic default for so many years, for so many activities, including just, you know, hanging out with your friends or meeting people or networking and dating. And I think that it's always a good idea to take a closer look and reexamine what things are and aren't working for you in life. And so I think that, you know, there are a lot of people who are looking at alcohol and trying to decide, you know, does this fit into the lifestyle and the life that I want to lead? So it's been really exciting to, you know, be a part of, and certainly to watch people reevaluate their relationships.
Hilary Scheinbaum is a journalist, speaker, author of the book, The Dry Challenge, How to Lose the Booze for Dry January, Sober October, and Any Other Month, Alcohol-Free Month. Thank you so much. Dr. Janani Ramesh is assistant professor in the Department of Internal Medicine at UT Austin's Dell Medical School and hospitalist at Dell Seton Medical Center. And Kevin Lars Phillips is a certified peer specialist at Bexar County's Center for Healthcare Services. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Dallas Williams and Megan Halbadier Moore, with production assistance provided by Mark Hutchison. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.